Coming up next, signs that you should turn down the job offer. And then in our In the News segment, what it's like to make $100,000 walking dogs. And of course, we take your calls and it starts right now. All right, folks, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show, where you learn how to win at work and in life. We're looking at the entire picture. We don't look at just work. We don't look at just life. We look at how does our work and purpose in our work, how does it affect our life in a positive way? Because we look at the negatives. We see the negatives every day. A person who is bored, complacent, angry, miserable at the job is going to drag that stuff home. And if life's falling apart for you in your personal life, you're going to drag that to work. And so we seek to address the emotional, the mental, the practical as it relates to you doing what you were created to do to make the impact and the income that every human being needs to make and desires to make. I want you to win in those areas. So we take your calls, 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. We teach you, we inform you, and we encourage you. Let's get to the informing. So I recently am happy to say my wife and I are both, well, we're impulsive, we're creative extroverts, so we struggle with the details. And I'm very excited to say that for the first time in our almost 24 years of marriage, we booked spring break like 5 months in advance. And we're working on our summer vacation right now. This is big news in the Coleman household because we typically, we just kind of go with the flow. We got three teens, two dogs. Life's busy and crazy, and we're not great planners. If Stacy's watching this right now, and she's not, she would go, well, you're not a great planner. Regardless, we booked our spring break at 30A, our favorite place in the world, a couple months ago. And here we are in 18-degree weather. It was this morning when I went out with the pup, Huey, our newest addition to the Coleman family. And it was cold. And while I was standing out there with Huey, because Huey needs encouragement, like Huey left his own device. He'll just run around and forget that he needs to pee. He'll bark to come in and then he pees. He's a pup. So I found that when I go out with Huey and I stand there, even in the bitter cold, and Huey realizes, oh, Dad's not interested in playing, he pees and poops quicker. So there you go. And some of you are going, what on earth does this have to do with today's teaching? It has a lot to do with it. And I'm going to tell you why. Because today, Alex, as I was standing out there in the 19-degree weather, freezing, waiting for the pup to do his business, I began to think about spring break. I began to think about the sand, the sun, the ocean. I love to play in the water, in the ocean. My kids, even as teenagers, that's the one thing where they'll still get out and play a lot with me. You know what I'm saying? So for just a brief moment today, I went there. And then I thought about today's teaching. And I thought, I hope that the surf is not rough because I look forward so much to getting in the ocean and playing. It's relaxing for me to float out there, to kayak. I mean, I love getting in the ocean. And one of the potential risks every time we go to the beach is if, you know, you got a storm coming up and you walk out, you're all excited to get to the beach and you see the red flag. And the red flag says, dangerous. Surf, get undertow, dangerous, can't get in the water. When we see the red flag, guess what happens? I can't get in the water because the lifeguards are going to blow the whistle at me and say, hey, Chach, get back on the sand. So today, I want to save you from the danger. In the midst of the great resignation, when people are throwing you job offers right and left, I want to present some red flags today. Can I do this? And save you from the dangers of taking a job that's all about the paycheck and it's an absolute disaster and it's dangerous. Here we go. These are the red flags. And if you see any one of these, you're leaning towards turning down the job. Number one, job expectations and goals are not clear. They're not clear. You go through one or two or three interviews and it's not really clear what a win looks like. Now, some of you are going, really, Ken? Yes, really. Horrible leaders who are just trying to fill a position do this every day. And you will take the job and you go, well, they didn't fill in many of the gaps, but I'll figure it out when I get here. No, you won't. It's a red flag. Turn it down. Number two, leaders who look like they're trying really hard to put a good face on the company. And you kind of go, I don't think they like their job. That's a red flag. Turn it down. The salary offer is below market value. This is a huge red flag. If you have all of the qualifications and you can honestly say, I meet the requirements for market value based on my skill and experience, and it's the salary that I'm looking for is commensurate to the same type of job in my zip code, and it's below market value, this is a red flag. They've got financial problems. They don't pay attention to the market value. They don't value their people. Turn it down. Number four, if the company has a bad reputation, not just one or two people saying negative things about them on Glassdoor, I mean like it is a chorus of people. Vendors, customers, all say bad things about them. This is not a one-off, folks. This is a pattern. Pass. Hard pass. And then five, if the work doesn't put you in your sweet spot, as I define it, where you are using what you do best, your talent, to do work you love, passion, to produce results that matter to you, mission, or if it's not the next step on the ladder, it moves you strategically down the path or up the ladder, whatever analogy you want to use. If it's not one of those two and it's just a paycheck, say pass. Because the paycheck will wear off. Some of you are going, no, Ken, you're not being realistic. You're just not. A 15% raise? That's going to make me plenty happy. Yeah, for a month, 2 months. Because we humans, we adjust so quickly. And you get that paycheck a couple times, and you go, and that's great. And all of a sudden, the same crappy leadership that you've put up with at the other place, the same toxic work environment that you put up with at the other place, the same gossipy coworkers, the same negative ninnies that you deal with every day, purposeless work that you dealt with before, all of that comes back up to the surface. And then the paycheck, it doesn't solve anything. There you go. Turn down the job if you see any of those red flags. Boy, I can't wait to get in the ocean. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. I got to tell you, I was just doing a little sneak peek of our In the News story coming up. I am so delighted about this for so many reasons, but I was just kind of doing a quick overview, and I'm so excited about one of the particular lines that I get to share in the article. So more on that later as we bring you up to the moment. Trends, data, stories that help you, the people, because I'm out here fighting for you, fighting against poor leadership, fighting against a broken education system, fighting against your fear, fighting against your doubt, fighting against what somebody did to you or said to you. Because I know that you matter deeply to this world. And I know you have a unique contribution that somebody out there needs to get from you. And I know you can get paid for it. And I know you can enjoy it. This is what I know. So I want to help you figure it out. 844-747-2577 is the phone number to jump in. 844-747-2577. Real quick challenge. If you're enjoying the program, help us grow. We're growing. We want to grow faster. Give us a like. Give us a subscription. And maybe share a link. All of those are buttons that you can click and instantly spread the good news right below the video window. If you would do that, thank you so much. Let's get to Dayton, Ohio. Emily is on the line there. Emily, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Emily. What's going on?
So I'm looking into a new job opportunity, but I feel like after the last few years that have been rough on everybody, that my confidence is kind of shot, and I just don't know how to like push past that. Mm-hmm. And allow myself to pursue this new opportunity.
We have to dig into what caused your confidence to get shot, because we got to pull out our facts and myths. So what do you think? What would you say specifically has shot your confidence in the last couple of years?
Well, I don't know, getting laid off in 2020, suddenly, probably didn't help.
Yeah. Yeah, you do know. You just threw that out casually. Yeah. Like, maybe this is something, Ken. No, getting laid off. Let's just pause for a second. Getting laid off is a deep blow to anybody's confidence and psyche. Yes or no?
Yeah. I mean, was my entire department, so it didn't feel personal, but it was tough.
Yeah. Okay, then. All right, what else?
In the last couple of years, I've had an interview or two where I just, got ghosted afterwards or whatever. They never got back to me at all. So
that doesn't help either. That doesn't help.
But
no, that's awful. It's like, I'm not worthy of a response.
Right.
No closure. And then what happens there is your mind is left to fill the void.
Mm-hmm.
And we never really put good stuff in there, do we?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like being taken out on a date and they don't call you back. Well, what did I do? Was it the way I ate? Was it the outfit I wore? Did I say something wrong? You see how that goes?
Mm-hmm.
We just keep filling up the void with all the potential negative. Okay, anything else that's caused your confidence to be shot? Those are two biggies.
Not really. I mean, looking into is one of those things where I kind of have to put myself out there more than I'm used to.
I get it. So there's the unknown, right?
Right. And then I've been working remote, so from home, for the last several years. So, it's not dealing with people directly. And so that's a little bit of it, maybe.
All right. So let's break it down. So let's go back to the two blows first, and then we're going to take on the unknown, okay? Two blows to your confidence and then the unknown. That's what we're going to break down, and we're going to go for the facts and the myths. All right, so you got laid off. Your whole department got laid off. Had you had good performance reviews and generally would you say that you were doing a good job and your leaders felt you were doing a good job prior to being laid off?
Absolutely.
Great. And so the reason that the whole department was laid off was?
It was 2020. It was the pandemic. Yep. Everything just shut down. Yeah.
Yeah. So the facts are that you being laid off in that situation had absolutely zero to do with you in a negative way or positive way. It's just, you didn't do anything wrong there. That had nothing to do with your ability as a professional. True or false?
True.
Great. So now we get to move on. The couple of times you interviewed and you got ghosted, do you think you really did something awful? Or do you think that this is the nature of professional leadership in this day and age where it's all about fill the position as fast, as efficiently as possible, and we don't really communicate well to anybody we're not interested in going forward with? What do you think it is?
It's probably the latter.
Yeah. So again, there's nothing that we can actually put our finger on and learn from in those ghosting situations. So therefore, it is counterproductive to even think about it. There's nothing concrete. If you could learn from it, you would. But we can't. So it should occupy how much of your mental capacity right now?
None, I guess.
None. Zero. All right. Now, let's take on this new thing. What is this new opportunity that would require you... wait a second. Before we go forward, you've been working remote for a few years. Did you all of a sudden lose all your interpersonal skills and the ability to communicate effectively and be nice and polite to coworkers or customers?
No.
No, that's ridiculous, Ken. I know. But that's what you're thinking. All right, now, new opportunity. Describe it. What is it? What would the role be?
So currently I'm self-employed and working contract remotely, but I'm actually looking at starting my own business as a financial coach.
Okay.
And I've recently started taking a training course to do that.
Good.
But, you know, I live in a rural area, so it's going to be mostly virtual. But, you know, I'm not used to being the face of anything. And so I really have to put myself out there, and I really have to, I don't know, more than I ever have in the past, I
guess. Okay, let's unpack that. I love that. You're being vulnerable and honest. Let's unpack it. How would you give me just real brief description? What would be the attributes, professional and personal, that come to the top of your mind that would make a really good financial coach?
Good with money.
Okay.
Made mistakes and corrected them.
Mm-hmm.
Really good at listening
and
helping other people unpack the you know, the issues.
Mm. Does that describe you?
Yes.
Are you a 7 in that description, or are you a 9.5 potential 10 in that description? Be honest. Don't you dare get doubtful on me right now. Tell the truth.
Well, no, I mean, those are the reasons that I decided to look into and start training as a financial coach, is because those are the things that I already have.
Right. So would you say you're 7, 8, or 9 on a scale of 1 to 10 in those areas?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then. Great news. 7, 8s, and 9s can become 10s. You agree with that?
Oh, absolutely.
If you were a 4, I'd go, don't waste your time.
Right.
You get this. All right. Mm-hmm. So the unknown part is, how do I build this business to where it becomes self-sustaining and replaces my current income? That's what's the scariest.
Right.
So the best thing you can do is connect with financial coaches that are winning, that built their business from the ground up. Ask them, talk to them. You got connections, you're going through a training program. You can get to these coaches, yes or no?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Say, hey, I really admire you. I'd like your opinion. That's all you need to say. We all love giving our opinion. We really love giving our opinion when someone says they think we're successful and they want to get best practices. Boy, that makes us feel really good. And they're going to divulge all kinds of practical things that you should do, missteps to avoid, traps, that kind of thing. That's what I want you to do. And I also want you to stay gainfully employed and build this on the side and put every nickel away until you can do 6 months of your salary at a minimum. And then you can go full time. But you got this, Emily. I believe in you. Go do it. Because you're supposed to. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, a safe place for those of you who are going, Ken, I'm not feeling it, man. I know there's more, but I don't know what it is, or I know what it is, but Ken, I just don't believe in myself. I've done something. Something's been said to me. Ken, I just got crazy debt. Hey, you're a human, which means you are incredibly valuable. Somebody needs what you have to offer. And if I can help you dust off who you really are and let you see you as the way the world sees you, with talent, passion, and a sense of mission, I'm your guy. Let's go. 844-747-2577. All right, quick snapshot of where we are. Last year, the last 2 years really gave a lot of people a very natural bridge to wonder, is there more in my work? And the answer is a lot of people, millions said yes. Maybe this is the year, for those of you who haven't finally made it, so you've been listening to the show, watching the show, and you're going, okay, it's time to put my toe out there. ZipRecruiter can help. They can send you the right jobs, and you can apply to most of them with one click. And they may even send you a job that you would have never found on your own. Sign up for free today on ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Ken and put ZipRecruiter to work for you. Okay, one of the things we do is we bring you daily information from the headlines designed to inform you, equip you, help you in a myriad of ways. Today, I think we got something that's going to inspire you. Let's get to it in the news. By the way, full nod to Amanda, second day in a row, got the throat coat in the studio. Game changer. Ah, it's so nasty, but so good. You know? And there's teaching in this. And so I'm going to give you just a moment here on this before we get into the news. Here I go again. So many things in life that are really good for us taste nasty. And you just got to embrace it. I mean, in order for me to get through the show today, I had to sip the throat coat before and during the show. It tastes terrible. Every time I take a sip of it, I feel like it's the worst Robitussin that they ever made. But you know what? It's good for me. So there you go. Here's the question. What do you need to do that ain't going to taste great or be great or feel great, but you know it's good for you? Do it. All right. Here's the headline from The Hustle. What it's like to make $100,000 plus walking dogs. Ryan Stewart is the subject of the article. Here's a direct quote. Dog walking is not a job for someone with a wandering mind. It requires every ounce of your attention. And I got to tell you this. Until I read this article, I would have thought, well, dog walking, you can just, you know, you're holding on to the leash. But until I realized I have dogs. And this dude is walking up to six dogs at a time. So this isn't dog walking. This is like dog sledding. And he's right, especially in New York. His territory is Long Island City, which is just across the river from Manhattan. And he has become an expert at tracking poop schedules. This was the line I was most excited about sharing. And he's gotten great at spotting a squirrel from 100 yards away. For those of you that are really paying attention, you understand what's going on right now. He knows his dogs, how long they walk before they got to do their business. He knows if I don't spot the squirrel ahead of time and redirect, I got six dogs pulling my arms off. It's really fascinating. This is really cool. Now, listen, this is so inspiring. Stay with us. He's got 15 years of experience, and he pulls in six figures that many people perceive to be unglamorous and unlucrative. This is so good. I'm reading directly from the article. Today's urban dog walking landscape is cutthroat and rife with challenges. And it goes on to talk about, you know, early on, he was the youngest of a large brood of kids, shuffled around with his non-biological father in the military. And he just was never in one place very long. Had some illnesses that he dealt with some depression. And then one day he had a fortuitous encounter with a dog trainer who suggested he get into the trade. So he starts shadowing the dog trainer, reads books, learns about dog psychology, which led him to, as a part of his learning, observing dogs for hours at a time in a park. Now, folks, I teach this. I teach shadowing, like learning, diving in. You love dogs? Well, what could you do with dogs? What do you love about dogs? This kid actually does all this. So while he thinks he's going to get into dog training, he realized that the early opportunity for him was just caring for the dogs by walking the dogs for business people who are in the office. They've got the extra income and they want their dogs exercised. So he takes, watch this, a small opportunity. I'm talking small opportunity. Okay? Because he likes dogs. And he turns it into six figures. Because his business, watch this, of course grew by word of mouth. You do a good job walking one rich old lady's dog. Here's what I know about rich old ladies and their dogs. They got other rich old lady friends who got dogs. And rich old ladies don't want to walk the dogs in Central Park. Rich old ladies just want the dog to get their exercise and get the hyperness out of their system so that the pooch can sit next to them on the couch while they watch Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. So, you ready for this? Dog walking is an estimated $979 million industry. And it's only going to grow because dog ownership is increasing. 53% of American households now own dogs. Pet owners are spending more money on time-saving services like dog walking. We are a lazy culture. Can we just be honest? So we'd rather pay somebody like Ryan to walk our dogs. Now I'm going to tell you, Joe, I stepped into this situation and I said, now here's the deal. A, I have a teenage son who can walk my dog. And B, I bought a house with a good-sized yard to where my two dogs can go bananas out in the back and get all that business out of their system. But in Manhattan, there ain't no backyard. So for some of you that are going, this could be great, you better know your zip code. So I just want to put this out here. But if you are in a metropolitan area, and you even live 20 minutes outside of a good-sized city, and your kid is a teenager looking to make some good money in the summer or evenings, they get their homework done, they drive in and walk rich people's dogs. It's unbelievable. So here's what this guy says. Okay, I gave you a quote at the beginning. He says, any Joe Schmo can make $50,000 a year working for Rover. Someone who works for himself and can walk two to three dogs at once can make $100,000. He then goes on to say, and if they're really good, they can make $200,000. So why do we share this article? Because in the world we live in right now, being an entrepreneur has never been easier. Making great money as a side hustle to get out of debt or to fund your degree in psychology so you can do the counseling that you want to, it's never been easier. You got to look for opportunities to do something you really enjoy that really meets a need. And there lies opportunity. Dog walker making over 100 grand? Oh my word! What are you waiting on? All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. I got to tell you, I enjoyed that last story immensely because, and I'm going to tell you the personal connection here. We are blessed, the Coleman family, to live in a, you know, Williamson County, it's a very wealthy county. I mean, Middle Tennessee economy's booming. Tennessee's economy overall is booming. I mean, you know, it's unbelievable. And so our kids are so blessed. And I see stories like this, and I can't wait to take this home. Now, all three of my kids will roll their eyes so hard that they may not go back into place. But I wish that, like, we and I'm just calling this out, we live in a place of affluence, but there is so much money to be made in places of affluence. And, you know, it's like, It's unbelievable. I've told my kids, Joe, do you remember in the first year of the show, I did a story on a kid that did the pooper scooper business in his neighborhood?
Yes.
And paid for like an $8,000 fishing boat?
I remember that.
In like one summer? I mean, the kid just realized, I got dogs all around me, and I wonder how many people get tired of scooping poop, and they'll pay me $50 a week to scoop poop. And he started knocking on doors, and all these people are like, $50? Scoop all my dog's poop? I'm in. And the kid buys an $8,000 fishing boat. I mean, how many of you listening and watching right now need an extra 10 grand to pay off a credit card? But I wish my kids would figure this out. I mean, that kid's fishing boat, by the way, Joe, about three times the amount of my first car. An 82 Mazda 626 with over 300,000 miles on it. I mean, this thing was a turd on wheels. So, there you go. Opportunities are all around us. It's all about solving problems. Solving problems. What problem can you solve? What problem do you want to solve? Start there. Very simple questions, folks, to get ideas. And this is where innovation and ingenious things come from. So, there you go. All right, let's go to Beaumont, California. AJ is there. AJ, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You bet. AJ, what's up?
I have a conditional offer of employment with a government agency, and I did some research, and the starting pay that they offered me is a little bit lower. I went under their human resources page, and there's a vast pay range. Should I negotiate to try to get that pay up a little bit?
Are you willing to walk if they don't meet your number?
Yeah.
Then yes.
Yeah.
Because, see, negotiation, you can't go into true negotiation. And I don't know that this will turn into that, but the concept of what you're asking me is, are you willing to walk? Or else you're just kind of asking a question. So the way you respond is, hey, I did my research, show them the research. And based on my skill and experience, plus where I am in my life, I can't do it for what you offered. I'm all in if you could meet me at this number, and give them a number. So it's really not a negotiation, but I understand how you're using the word. Mm-hmm. But you don't do what I just described if you're not willing to walk.
Okay.
Makes sense?
Yes.
So are you willing? Like, if you put it, are you willing to do it the way I just described?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, then. How much of a difference is it?
It's an entry-level position, so it's a training position. It's like a $3 an hour difference. So basically, for the first year while I'm in training, they have a pay scale. Then once I pass the probation period, then I get a title change and a raise after that.
Okay. Well, again, it's $3. Mm-hmm. And so if you're willing to walk over $3, then yeah, that's what you do. And don't look back.
All right.
Yeah. Appreciate the call, man. Absolutely. Right. You got this. Because here's the mindset that he has to have. AJ, and I know I put you on hold. Here's the mindset. And those of you that are in a similar situation, you're going, I resonate with that. I get it. Here's what you got to understand. What I mean by willing to walk is that financially you can't do it, or it's going to feel so psychologically awful that it's just going to ruin everything. And realize this, there's more jobs out there. It's not the only offer. So stand strong, AJ. You got this. More show coming right up. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, helping you win at work and at life. 844-747-4748. 2577-844-747-2577. Hey, quick reminder, I'd love for you to engage with me on Instagram at Ken Coleman. Facebook, search The Ken Coleman Show. I'm on Twitter at Ken Coleman. Ken Coleman on LinkedIn as well. Because we currently have a Q&A session going on all day. I'm in and out on Instagram. We posted a little in my story, Ask Me Anything, and a lot of people engage on Instagram, and that's great. Also, for those of you who watch via YouTube, you can jump in on the chat room as well, and from time to time, I'll jump in over there and address questions directly. All right, we've been doing this all month of January. Let's go to our job tip of the day. All right, Angelo asked on YouTube, "Hey, Ken, what's your opinion about cold calling companies to inquire about possible open positions?" Well, I have no problem with you cold calling to inquire. I don't like a cold call to pitch yourself. Nobody operates that way anymore. And honestly, there's nothing wrong with it. I actually think it's great. Shows a lot of gumption. But it doesn't work. But if it's cold calling to say, "Hey, I saw that this position was posted, and I would just like to inquire, is it still open?" That's great. I think it's good strategy, because why waste your time? Because I don't just apply. I tell you people to connect. So I love the idea of cold calling to verify, is the position still open? When are they looking to fill it? I love it. Great question, Angelo. All right, stay tuned for more of the job tips of the day. 844-747-2577. Back to the phones we go. Oh, now this makes me happy, Joe. Not too far from our old neck of the woods. In fact, very near where I had my first live radio experience in Noonan, Georgia. Downtown Noonan at 11 o'clock at night on a Friday night on a country station called The Bear. And a couple of my buddies who were connected down there in high school football talked the two DJs into me being an expert on high school football while I was taking that broadcasting school and doing play-by-play. And so I got on in their Friday night recap show. And this was the first time I was ever on live radio.
How'd you do?
Well, you know, pretty darn good, Joe, to be honest with you, because you knew me. I went and did my homework.
Good answer.
So I paid attention to the star. I mean, I did my homework on the teams, and I knew what was going to be up that night. And, you know, I could talk some pigskin. I mean, with the best of them, if I might be so bold. Anthony's up in Peachtree City, Georgia. Anthony, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet, Anthony. What's going on?
Hey, so just a quick background. So I just moved my family recently back in July. From Florida up to Peachtree City.
Okay.
I left a job I was with for nearly 9 years. I started as a technician, worked my way into supervision, was very invested in the career and the people there. So I left there as a supervisor, came up here, took a job as a technician working on equipment. Mm-hmm. And then shortly after, 4 months later, I got offered a job in supervision back in the waste industry in fleet maintenance. And for a $16,000 a year increase, so I decided to take it. Figure we can, my family can reach our goals a little bit faster that way. But I'm finding that the culture here is not really a great fit for me, and I'm considering possibly going back into fixing trucks. Mm-hmm. And but the thing is, I don't want to be looked at as a job hopper because I do have that long stint on my resume of nearly 9 years, and now I have two jobs within 6 months since I've left there. So,
okay. So,
what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's all in how you first look at yourself, because you're the voice that will determine the narrative to other people. So, what you think about yourself, you got to get clear on that. And if you think you're a job hopper, then you're going to assume that other people think you are a job hopper, when in all reality, you're not. Let's just review what you told us. You were in one position for 9 years. Then you moved your entire family for multiple reasons, I'm guessing, not just work. True or false?
True, yeah. It was to be closer to family, and so our baby could grow up around his cousin.
Yeah, well, that's not a flake. Everybody on the planet understands that. Why'd you leave the job that you were in for 9 years? To be closer to family. Oh, there's a real loser. Anthony's flaking out right now. Come on, Anthony. You hear how absurd that is? All right, now let's go to the next one. I know. I'm walking you through it. You called me up. I'm going to walk you through it. I'm going to beat this thing into the ground. All right, so you make that move. That's not flaky. And so you take a position with this current company. Now, we're not going to run the current company down. We're not going to, you know, we're not going to blow them up, you know, and trash them. But you were there for 6 months, and then another opportunity comes your way. Correct?
Correct.
A better opportunity. This is. Did you seek it out, or did they seek you out? How did it come to you?
It was one of the companies that I was seeking out when I initially started looking to move here.
And so they called you back after a while?
Yes. Yes.
Again, where's the flakiness there? This is the hottest job market in the history of the United States. And you applied for a company 6 months ago or longer. They didn't hire you at the time. And now they come back and they want you. So you're not going to look like a hopper to them. They've already asked for you. True or false?
True, and I'm already here, actually. But
you already took it, you dog.
I did, and I've been here nearly 2 months, but the culture doesn't seem like a very good fit for me. I think it may have been a little bit oversold.
Okay, but let's turn, so you were in one place 6 months, and then this place 2 months?
Yes.
I see, okay. But again, none of this falls apart. So here's what you do. You need to turn, if you don't believe you're supposed to be there a long time, then you need to turn this into another opportunity.
Okay.
And so here's what happens. If another company out there, after you do your homework, now learning what you should have learned before, how do you identify if it's a healthy culture going forward? You know how to do it, don't you? You know what questions to ask, what to look for, true or false?
True, yeah, and I'll ask up front. I do ask in interviews and when I speak with the recruiters.
Yeah, so here's the deal. Once you have you already identified something else you'd go to, or are you just now wondering, should I be looking?
I have identified something else, and I would be asking those kind of questions. I think I would be digging even deeper than I did with this position.
Yeah, so here's what your story is. They came after me. They came after me, and I took them on their offer. And it just, it's not what I thought it was going to be. You're not running them down, but you're not the guy who quit and went over to a new place. They came after you. And you can just say, hey, I took the opportunity. They gave me a promotion, gave me more money. It wasn't quite what, you know, they told me it was going to be. They're good people. They're nice people. But I got swayed because they came after me. That doesn't sound like a flake to me, does it to you?
No, I mean, if someone told me that, I'd take them at their word for that, for sure.
And you wouldn't be wary of them. You'd go, oh, that's impressive. They wanted him. Who wouldn't take a bigger paycheck when someone's coming after them? And
right.
They wooed you, and now you have enough maturity to go, it's really not what's right for me. This is right for me. So the minute you say this wasn't what they said it was going to be, and I acknowledge that I should have seen it, there's a couple of things I could have looked into, but the reality is, I listen to this Ken Coleman Show guy, and he teaches, you know, there's a sweet spot for everybody where you're 75% of your day, you're doing work you're good at, you're doing work you love, and you're producing a result that you care deeply about, and I can tell you unequivocally, this job allows me to do that. Nobody talks that way. By the way, you don't have to mention my show. I was just trying to get a free promo in there. But you speak that language and they're going to go, this is a sharp dude. Are you tracking with me?
Absolutely.
So that's what you do. See, you control the narrative. Not anybody else. And again, keep using those connections, bro, to where all the interview stuff is just a formality. Love the call. Love you. Go get it, man. You're no flake. You're a rock star.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
If you enjoyed this podcast, we have more from the Ramsey Network, like Borrowed Future.
Hey, listeners, I'm George Camel, and in this 8-episode podcast series, we're exploring the student loan debt crisis and the impact it's having on real people. We're going to expose the predatory nature of the student loan industry, how we got here, why student loans are such a big deal, and what can be done to avoid them in the first place. We'll hear stories of people burdened by student loan debt and be inspired by people who graduated college debt-free. We'll also hear from experts and thought leaders along the way.
To hear full episodes, just search Borrowed Future wherever you listen to podcasts or go to borrowedfuture.com.